you'd like to open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 12, be starting our study. We're going to do a study series in the life of Abraham. We'll do a little bit of overview today and maybe start with the first few verses in Genesis chapter 12. Now, Abraham is a very important person in history. Very important person in the world today. Over half of the population of the earth would attribute their spiritual heritage to Abraham, that being the Jews, the Christians, and the Muslims. In the Old Testament, God even identifies himself with Abraham, identifying himself as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You want to know which God are we talking about here? Well, it's the God of Abraham. That's the God we're talking about, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Abraham is called the friend of God. Coming to the New Testament, Abraham's mentioned 75 times in the New Testament. In Romans 4, he is our example of justification by faith and not by works. When Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. In Galatians 4, Abraham is the father of all who believe. But perhaps most importantly, the story of Abraham is the story of Christ. Matthew 1:1, the first verse of the New Testament, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. For context, we're going to start back in Genesis chapter 3. God had put Adam and Eve in the garden, and they were deceived by the serpent, and they ate of the fruit of the tree of which the Lord had commanded them not to eat. And in chapter 3 and verse 14, so the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, verse 15, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. You shall bruise his head and he shall bruise your heel. A promise. Right away, Genesis chapter 3, a promise. A promise of a seed. The seed of the woman, one who will restore and reconcile, one who will destroy him who has the power of death, one who will even defeat death itself. Adam and Eve have sinned. The consequence of sin is death, but there's a promise of a seed that will restore, that will reconcile. Genesis chapter 4, Cain is born. Is he the promised seed? Is this the seed that God was talking about? No. He murders his brother, and he is cursed, not blessed. What about Cain's brother Seth? Is he the one? Is Seth the one? Will he be the seed, the reconciler? No. Seth dies. Genesis chapter 5 and verse 6. Seth lived 105 years and begot Enosh. After he begot Enosh, Seth lived 807 years, and he had sons and daughters. So all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. Enosh lived 90 years and begot Canaan. And after he begot Canaan, Enosh lived 815 years, and he had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enosh were 905 years, and he died. And Canaan died. Mahalalel, he died, and the next guy died, and he died, and he died, and he died. We don't have a book of life, we have a book of death. Where's the seed? Where's the reconciliation? Chapter 6, Noah. Noah. Judgment is coming. Maybe Noah can save us. Well, Noah was saved, but he wasn't the promised seed either. Noah and his family were saved. Genesis 9:29. So all the days of Noah were 950 years, and he died. Genesis chapter 11, death continues. From Noah's sons to Shem, all the way down to Terah. Terah lived in Ur of the Chaldees and worshipped other gods. Is Terah the seed? No. He didn't even worship the Lord God. He worshipped other gods. Genesis chapter 11 verse 27. This is the genealogy of Terah. Terah begot Abram, Nor, and Haran. Haran begot Lot, and Haran died before his father Terah in his native land in Ur of the Chaldeans. Then Abram and Nahor took wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai. The name of Nahor's wife was Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah, the father of Iscah. But Sarai was barren, and she had no children. Well, there's no hope for a seed there, is there? Abram and Sarai, she was barren. Terah has a son, Abram. They live in Ur of the Chaldeans, among the Euphrates River Valley. It's a little bit south of Babylon, in sort of modern-day Iraq. The Euphrates, the Tigris River Valleys, where they come down into the Persian Gulf there. There's Ur of the Chaldeans. And Stephen tells us in Acts chapter 7, and verse 2, that the God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Haran. The God of glory appeared to Abraham, or at that time was Abram, when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Haran. And he said to him, "Get out of your country, from your relatives, and come to a land that I will show you." So what does Abraham do? What does Abram do? Genesis 11, verse 31. Terah took his son Abram and his grandson Lot, and the son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, his son Abram's wife, and they went out. They went out with them from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to the land of Canaan, and they came to Haran and dwelt there. Wait a second. Haran is not in the land of Canaan. Haran is still in Chaldea. If you go up the Euphrates River, it's just at the headwaters of the Euphrates River before you come down into Canaan. They were on their way to Canaan. They came to Haran and they dwelt there. So the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. The God of glory appeared to Abraham and says, "Get out from your country and from your relatives." And Abram brings his relatives, his father, his nephew Lot, something that Abram may have adopted Lot as an heir, his nephew, since Sarai was barren. He may have taken Lot as an heir until Genesis 13, where they fall out. Some think that at this stage that might have been their relationship. But he says, "Get out from among your country, from among your relatives." And Abram brings his relatives, and he doesn't leave the country. They leave Ur, and they start heading towards Canaan, but they stop in Haran, and they dwell there. And Haran is still in Mesopotamia. It's right on the edge. He almost leaves, and then he doesn't. And Abram stays in Haran for about 5 years until his father Terah dies. Now Genesis 12 and verse 1. "Now the Lord had said to Abraham, 'Get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be called a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you, and in you all families of the earth shall be blessed.'" So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Now, we're not sure if this call at this stage in Genesis chapter 12 is the second time that the Lord is calling Abraham, or Abram. Is he reminding him? He called him when he was in Ur, and he didn't fully obey, so he called him again, perhaps. Or is Abram remembering what the Lord had said to him? But he finally obeys. He finally leaves Chaldea and he heads down into Canaan. Well, he sort of obeys. He still brings Lot with him, doesn't he? So is Abram the promised seed? No, but we get an update here. We get an update on God's promise, on the promise of that seed. So I want to stop here. I want to look at these three promises that God makes to Abram. The land, a great nation and name, and a blessing. So in verse 1 he says, to a land that I will show you. Not to a land that I will give you, to a land that I will show you. God doesn't really seem to give him the land here, although it may be intended. God just says that he's going to show Abraham where he's going to live, where he's going to dwell. Now, we're not going to get down to verse 7, but down in verse 7, God says to Abraham, or Abram, to your descendants I will give this land. To your descendants I will give this land. What land is he talking about? Is it the land of Canaan? We could say it's the greater land of Canaan. In Genesis 15, God appears to Abram again and makes a covenant with him again. In Genesis 15:18, it says, on the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, to your descendants I have given this land from the river of Egypt, the great river, to the river Euphrates. Sorry, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates. From the Nile to the Euphrates. Now, they've never possessed all of that land. They've possessed a part of it. Even today, it's still hotly debated, hotly contested, the land that was promised Abram. It's promised to him and his descendants, and his descendants are still fighting for the land. It's a vast land. As I mentioned, that Israel itself has not occupied the entirety of it. Some think that this will be done in a future time when the Lord returns, that he will rule over this land. Of course, we do expect him to rule over the earth. The second promise, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. Isn't that what we want? Don't we all want a great name? A great name. Now, this is set right up against Genesis chapter 11. Go back to Genesis chapter 11. After the flood, God had told Noah in Genesis 9, as for you, be fruitful, multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth, and multiply in it. But in Genesis 11, in disobedience to God's command, verse 3, they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. They said, come, let us build ourselves a city. Let us build ourselves a city. We're going to make it ourselves. A tower whose top is in heaven. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered. So the Lord wanted them to be scattered, to go out, to be fruitful, to multiply, to populate the earth. But they said, no, we want to stay here. Lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. Let us make ourselves a name. There's still many people in the world today trying to make a name for themselves. They want a great name, don't they? But God called Abram and said to him, I will make you a great nation. I will make you a great name. Something the Lord would do. Now, Abram has a great name, as we mentioned. Over half of the population of the world today attribute their spiritual heritage to Abram, or Abraham. It certainly has made his name great, and we see him as a testimony of faith in the New Testament. But as we read through the story of the story of his life, we're going to see, as we already have, that he was still a man. And he had the weaknesses of a man, and at times he disobeys the Lord. His faith wasn't perfect. He still had weakness. But God didn't say, you're going to make yourself a great name. The Lord said, I will make you a great name. I will make you a great nation. And we'll get to this in the next promise. But what great name, what great nation do you think the Lord's talking about there? Is it Israel? Is it his name, Abraham? Is it the name of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Jacob's name was changed to Israel, the 12 tribes of Israel. Is that the great name the Lord is talking about? And the great nation the Lord is talking about? Or is it the seed? Is it Christ? I would suggest that great name and that great nation is Christ. It's Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth. The third promise that he makes here, you shall be a blessing. There's two parts of this promise in Genesis 12:3. First part, a blessing for Abram's nation. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you. It's a blessing to him that he would be blessed by others. But it's also a conditional blessing for others. If you do this, if you bless him, then the Lord will bless you. If you curse him, then the Lord will curse you. A conditional blessing to others, but at the same time, a blessing to Abraham, a blessing for his nation. And we can see that play out in the rest of the Old Testament. Children of Israel go into Egypt. Initially, they're welcomed into Egypt, aren't they? Egypt is blessed. But when they're enslaved and treated harshly, and when they cry out to their God, Egypt is cursed. It's decimated. It's wiped out. Edom, as they met Edom in the wilderness of Moab, they're cursed by God. A blessing for every nation who blesses them, and a curse for every nation who curses them. The second blessing is a little bit different. It's a blessing for every nation. It's not a conditional blessing. He says in verse 3, "And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." In you all the families of the earth, all the nations shall be blessed. They will be blessed. I will make you a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, curse him who curses you. Here we see the promise of the seed. Here's the update. There's a blessing coming. There's a seed coming. The seed of the woman. In Genesis chapter 12, we know that the seed comes from Abraham. As we mentioned later in verse 7, it says, "To your descendants I will give this land. To your seed I will give this land." Galatians 3, Paul tells us that the promises were made to the seed of Abraham. Galatians 3:16, "Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made." And he does not say to seeds, as of many. He's not talking about Israel, but as of one, and to your seed, who is Christ. He's talking about the Christ. Christ is the blessing. Christ is the one to whom the promises were made. And we who have faith in Christ, we inherit that blessing. We receive that blessing. The blessing that God's promising here to Abram. Galatians 3:6, "Just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, therefore we know that only those who are of faith are the sons of Abraham." The descendants of Abraham, to whom the promises are made, are to those who have faith. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles. Now, for a long time, Israel didn't know that God would justify the Gentiles. But Paul says here, "And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, 'In you all the nations shall be blessed.' So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham." For many years, Israel thought the promises of God were only for them. However, we see straight away that the promise to Abraham is that the blessing is for all the families of the earth. All the families of the earth. Not that all the nations, all the countries will be blessed, but from every tribe and tongue and people and nation, there would be those who would receive a blessing. The blessing would reach to all nations. The blessing of Abraham's seed has reached to all nations, hasn't it? Interesting how in Revelation 7, we move from the first part, the first half. There's 144,000. There's 12,000 from the 12 tribes. Those are numbered. But then in verse 9, it changes. In verse 9 of Revelation 7, "After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, tongues, standing before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." A blessing that all the families of the earth will be blessed. Through Abraham, through his seed, I think it does include the nations that come from Abraham, but also specifically Christ. And it continues this day, doesn't it? Today, through the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, the promised seed, the blessing is still reaching to all nations. So as we go through the story of Abraham, as we go through the history of his life, remember what God is doing. I guess have a big picture view of what God is doing. The story of Abraham is the story of Christ. The Lord God is bringing about this promised seed, this reconciler. He's bringing about his Messiah, the seed of the woman, the Savior, a Redeemer. He's bringing him into the world that he might restore us and reconcile us with the God of heaven. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful for your word and for the story that it tells of your love for us. Father, that you did not leave us in our sins. You did not merely give us what we deserve. But Father, you, out of an abundance of grace and mercy, through the years of history, and at just the right time, did bring forth the seed of promise. Father, we thank you for our time to remember it and to consider it here today. And Father, we just pray your blessing as we go. Father, we pray this in the name of our Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus the Christ. Amen.